Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting in verse 26. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
What's that, Andy?
It's the 23rd chapter.
Not 22nd chapter. Thank you for saying so.
You're welcome.
Andy's correct. The 23rd chapter, starting in the 26th verse to verse 32.
And when they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the field, and laid on him the cross to bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and of women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For lo, days are coming in which they will say, Blessed the barren and the wombs that bear not, and the breasts that gave not to suck. Then shall they begin to say, On the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall they be done in the dry? And two other malefactors were also led with him to be put to death.
Anybody catch something? There's something really interesting in there that I saw. Anybody see anything in there? Well, the one thing that was kind of interesting to me to begin with is they laid the cross on this Simon of Cyrene. How much do you think those things weigh? Because I just put in some fence posts and I decided to use 4x6, pressure treated. So if it's a green log and it was like 12 feet long, I wanted to use, or 10, maybe they were 10 feet long. 4x6s, they weigh quite a bit, and I'm 77 years old. So I can pick it up, but it's a lot to carry around. I wonder how tall a cross a person has to be hanging over their stretched out arms above them. Let's say 7 feet.
I was going to say seven or eight feet.
7 foot seven minimum
feet.
Length.
And then something in the ground.
And then 3 feet, 2-3 feet in the ground. So 10 foot like I carried.
10 foot.
That's quite a bit.
It's a burden.
To pack around. And then a little perch to put your feet on. And by the way, the cross, might as well bring this up. We haven't talked about a cross. They make a cross that actually is not a cross. Because where the platform was where their feet were. That was the cross member. And it was enough for them to stand on. And the way they would kill the person, if it got beyond the time that they thought, okay, we're done, we're going to finish him off. He's on his last leg. They would break his legs because he could no longer stand up and he was hanging from his hands and he couldn't breathe because his diaphragm would collapse, his ability to breathe. So he would suffocate pretty quickly. And they were surprised that Jesus was dead. And when they stuck a sword in his side, out came water and blood, which is a sign of a broken heart, from what I understand. Not being a medical doctor myself, but that's what people have told me that are in the medical profession. So the cross does not look like anything. It looks, and some translations actually call it the tree.
A tree.
It's more like a post.
It's a post with a little platform to stand on that, and here your arms are stretched up totally. Oh, that would even hurt me too at my age. I've got a bad shoulder. Can you imagine hanging from your hands and the only
by a nail.
Nails through your hands that is holding you up. That can't be pleasant at all because your hands are really delicate. I mean, they...
Sensitive.
I've read that
a lot of nerves in your hands.
That the Romans were masters of this. And that from, and I looked at some pictures of them, and a side view of it showed that this was true. And it showed that they had a seat for him to sit on, and it looked like this. No, it's not this. It's like this.
It was a seat that was, what Andy's doing is he's doing a downhill slope at an extremely.
Yeah, like
a slope.
Not 30, yeah, really.
A slope you could not walk up is way too steep even to walk up.
You have to pull yourself into it with your hips. And then their feet, they nailed them. And so the only way to keep yourself from suffocating is to push up all your weight on the feet that a nail is
in. Which is going to hurt like crazy.
Where your nails or your feet are nailed, and you push up through the nail feet to pull your rear end up to give you room to get a breath. That's what they did.
Wow. So there were two members. If there's a seat there plus...
The feet
were nailed. There was not.
He said, check.
So there was not necessarily a platform to stand on. They were nailed.
They nailed him to it.
Well, I just
hung
learned
him on
something
it.
New right there.
He hung him on it.
Yeah.
This is what I read now. Unless we read it.
No, I didn't read about it. So you'd be the more expert than I would.
No, I mean I just looked it up one time and tried to do it. But we'll see as we go if it's that way. But it was like this, and then the feet.
Well, I think it says his feet and his hand were nailed.
Yeah,
I think it does
say
that.
And so then his seat was like this. And so it's like they get a chance to breathe. So you get a chance to breathe and suffer longer. They made them suffer.
We heard that is actually the most cruel way to die ever.
Gives me the shivers just thinking about it.
They might, wouldn't it be interesting if they institute that again? You know, because Herod, given to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Crucifying people, yeah.
You wonder.
It gives you a different perspective of the people, like his mother seeing Jesus on the cross, and she obviously knew about all that you just said, and having to witness somebody going through that.
And the multitudes used to go out and watch this, because just like they do hangings back in the 1800s, they would go out and watch this.
Now, but this is different, though, because the way this says it in 27, it says, and a great multitude of the people followed him and of women who bewailed and lamented him. So there was, Peter's
people.
Hiding out, but there's a lot of people following
the crowd.
There's
a lot of people
crowd
around this.
And lament, and the women lamenting him.
And crying.
Yeah, lament.
Or wailing.
Yeah, lamenting. Bewailing and lamenting.
So women don't do that in our society. They do it down in Mexico. That's what I understand. That's what Ray was saying, that people were crying out loud when someone would pass and crying. The women were...
It's not in our culture to do that.
No, not loud like that.
We're Americans.
Yeah,
we're not supposed to show our emotions, right? Who says we're right, though?
Right.
Maybe we're really wrong in that, too.
They mourned Moses.
Yeah.
30 days.
Yeah.
So here he is, and this is something I never saw. So here he is on the way. I'm assuming they're leading him because Simon's bearing the cross. And he turns to the daughters and said, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. So he has something to say on the way to being crucified.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that.
He had a lot to say.
Yeah.
And this is after he'd been up all night. And this is after they had whipped him and beaten him. And then they did something else. Do you know what they did to him?
Well, they beat him beyond recognition.
They call a scourging.
That's the whips with little...
Whips with the stuff, whipped him.
Tear flesh.
He's lost blood. He's all of this stuff. He's up all night. He's been beaten. He's everything. And now, why do you think they got the guy to carry that cross?
Because
there's
couldn't
no way
do
he
it.
Could do it.
Huh. See? I never saw
and
that.
That's the picture.
Wow.
And he's a carpenter's son, so he's strong.
Oh, yeah, he was strong.
He grew up. He's probably strong. He's a man's man.
But you don't give him, you know, you beat somebody, scourge him. That's they put your hands up in the thongs like this, and they get your back, and they.
It's like whips with barbs.
Yeah, they smack. You're bleeding. It's not welts. Cuts.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about this like it is, but I just want to talk about it like it is.
Well, we should.
We should. You can't really sugarcoat it.
Yeah. He took what we deserve. This is the funny thing about it. Is and these churches, they make these plays, you know, and actually they go up and hang on a cross. And I think it's some of it's a little perverted.
Wow.
I think it's some of it's
you
actually.
You can tell the story, but don't go up then and then acting
don't
it
try
out.
To
act like
you're him and you're not. That kind of gives me the creeps when I think about where they make a play about it and, they don't know the particle of this. I think it's a disgrace, actually, what they do, to think that they're pretending to do that when they don't even understand it.
Yes, that's just...
Some things that drives me away from that, you know, the way the religious people hand things. They handle it like it's nothing and... To treat that lesser than what really Jesus did, I think is really a disgrace. They're discrediting what Jesus really, the pain, the agony, what he really went through to do that. I don't know. Would you try to portray that?
I wouldn't play a part in it. I'll talk about it. I'll read it. But I'm surely not going to put on a play over it.
33 through
49. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left.
Actually, that's a malefactor.
Like
malefactor.
A criminal.
Like a malefactor, which is like evil.
So malefactor. Okay.
Malefactor.
And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast a lot. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also scoffed, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou art the King of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription was over him, This is the King of the Jews. The one of the hanged malefactors railed on him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, Dost not even thou fear God? For thou art the same condemnation.
You know, stopping right there, isn't that interesting? You're not taking this seriously enough. The one, even though the guy was hanging there, he wasn't taking it. He was on the cross. And the other one rebuked him because he wasn't getting it.
Don't you fear God?
He's not deserving one bit of this. We deserve this.
And we indeed justly, for we receive a due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And he said to him, Amen, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole earth until the ninth hour, the sun failing, and the veil of the sanctuary was rent amidst. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the crowds that came together to this sight, seeing what things were done, returned, smiting their breasts. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, seeing these things.
There is a lot in that. So, everyone, you know, this is an interesting thing that you get with people that don't believe in baptism. When you go through the water, I will be there, Jesus said. When you go through the sea. And when we become one of God's kids, we have to die with Jesus. Well, this individual did. And that's the excuse that people say why a person doesn't need to be baptized, because they said, well, the thief, you know, he wasn't baptized. He died with Jesus. And baptism is a death. You're dying to the old man. It, apparently, if you're baptized and don't understand that you're actually dying to the old man and you're raised a new person, and that's when God changes your heart and gives you a new spirit. If you don't know that, you might want to get baptized again, because you are a new creation. Created me a clean heart. That's that word bara. The creation that only God can do to create from nothing, created me a clean heart. Only God can do that. It happens when we die to the old man and become a brand new creation. And look what happens too. When he died and he told this other malefactor, the one that did evil, that he repented of his crimes right there. He repented of everything he did. And he says, Lord, remember me like the prodigal son. Jesus is right there instantly, says, today you'll be with me in paradise.
He didn't say, like, can't you see I'm busy right now?
Yeah. Can't you see I'm doing my IRS taxes? Yeah, don't bother me.
I'm dying right now.
Yeah. I've got to pay all my taxes before I die.
It,
so
it shows you the faith that that criminal had who Jesus was, and
right,
that he had the power to do it.
Everything, and we'll meet him. You know, it's interesting. We'll get to know it. We'll know his name. Hmm. We'll meet them. Some golden daybreak. We'll meet them.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to let that pass, are you? Some golden daybreak. Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. You heard that song, Dan? Yeah. Ray liked that song. That's what I mean. I'm going to let that pass. Go ahead.
Today you'll be with me in paradise. That comes from the Greek word, paradise.
Whoops.
It's a direct translation of the word paradise. It's also known as third heaven. Paul said he knew a man who was caught up to third heaven, he was caught up to paradise. There's no such thing as seven heavens. What? Where did that come from? What kind of religion did that come from? Well, you've shot out of the atmosphere, out of the stratosphere, out of the... You're in oblivion. There's no such thing. There's only third heaven. It's called paradise.
That's what is written in the Bible.
Yeah.
And to do more than that is just trying to create some...
There's no fourth... No fifth, no sixth, no baloney.
No baloney.
No baloney. The other is a bunch of baloney. And it's called paradise. From that mysterious word. So what do you think of when you think of paradise? You know, people say, well, they'll be in heaven. And I hear this anytime somebody dies, oh, we'll see them in heaven. Actually, I think... If you take all the funeral services that are, I don't know of anybody that goes to hell, according to all these, when you go to the graveside services.
Well, they don't say
he's
that.
Going to heaven. They're all in heaven.
Maybe an old Western movie. Yeah.
Is that really everybody? Yeah. So we're going to see everybody in heaven. I think we're going to see Charles Manson, according to the morticians and the people doing the eulogies. You're going to see Hitler there even. I mean, according to this is, I've even heard of a person saying, well, that guy's going to hell. Well, actually, there is no hell. So they can't say that. Hell's not in the Bible.
It's not even in there, so get the thing right.
Yeah, Hades in the New Testament, Sheol or the grave, S-H-E-O-L. I'm spelling it in English so you can say it. And Sheol is the grave in the Old Testament. Hades, the land without godly eyesight, Hades, in the New Testament. And it will all be delivered over to the, well, we won't get into that.
We won't.
You'll have to wait till we get into Revelation.
Gil was going to go ahead, and he looked at me and thought better of it.
Andy's giving me the, don't go there. Control yourself. Okay. I'll try to. So what's the next one here? Six to the ninth hour, darkness was over or within the whole earth until the ninth hour. Can you imagine darkness within the whole
noon to three.
Earth? Over the whole of the earth. Is there ever been a place? And of course, it would be that third hour, six to ninth hour, the 3 hours, centered in Jerusalem. Because did you know that Jerusalem really is the center of the earth, of the landmass?
Yeah, you showed me that
one. Yeah, it's very, and God calls it in the Bible the center of the earth. Isn't that interesting? And here's another funny thing. You would think that would be around the equator. So I get a globe, and I'm sitting there fiddling around with it, and I'm going, okay, I'm going to look. You know, we always look at, go east to west and look at it longitudinally. We don't look at it latitudinally, north, south, and so on. So I'm flipping the globe upside down, and I'm kind of lying down there and holding the globe over my head, and I look at the southern hemisphere, Antarctica, which is a big continent, by the way, and Australia's a big continent down there. But one-third of the landmass is in the southern hemisphere. Two-thirds are in the northern hemisphere. What? So the center is somewhere right around Jerusalem. It's of the land mass.
And he just says, and he does it by land mass.
Now population, there's about 8 billion people on the whole earth. I'm going to ask you, I've asked Andy this already, right? So he knows the answer. How many billion people of the 8 billion, how many billion do you think are on the northern hemisphere and how many billion do you think are in the southern hemisphere? You, by the way, you'll be wrong. So just exaggerate.
50-50.
Okay. Yeah, you're really wrong.
Okay.
7 billion in the northern hemisphere. Only 1 billion in the southern hemisphere. I needed to know this one day. I'm going like, what? This should create the biggest warble you ever, you know.
Yeah.
But the ocean is, you know, is very weighty. And what, two-thirds of the earth are ocean, one-third is landmass?
Something like that.
But 1 billion live in the southern hemisphere and 7 billion live in the northern hemisphere.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. Do you really know your earth? A lot of kids aren't raised with a globe like we are. And I got into engineering and surveying, and I wonder why, but I loved my globe. I loved my family's globe.
I like to look at it too because you could see it.
Yeah.
Not see it. You could see the picture of it, what right. It really is. I like that part.
And you'd play with it, and if you know, and you envision a lot of people on the globe, and you decided to spin it really fast because you wanted to see everybody throw up.
See them all fly off. And,
But yeah,
like the merry-go-round.
Anyway, that's carrying it a little too far. But anyway, you play around with this globe and you get to see things. And at one time, there was all one landmass. It talks about it, and all one ocean. And even in science, they know this today. It was called Pangaea, all one landmass; Pantelessa, all sea. And it talks about it in the scriptures. We'll get into that kind of thing later on when we go through creation, the creation story. But here we're talking about Jesus, him breathing his last, and the veil in the temple was torn top to bottom. So in chapter 45 here of Luke 23.
Chapter 24.
24.
Yeah. 23, I mean.
23.
You said 45.
Did I say? Oh, man.
Verse
45.
Yes.
Luke 23.
Good.
So we only have one chapter left. We have 11 verses left in 23, and we have 11 verses plus one chapter. And here now is the Old and the New Testament division. Right there. And he breathes his last in verse 46. It's 45 and 46 together, but I've got the dividing line around 46, Old Testament and New Testament, right in chapter 23, verses 45 and 46.
And that's because—
in those two verses.
That's where he died.
The Testament doesn't start until the death of the testator.
Of the testator.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
And at twilight— at twilight, that's when they killed
the Passover lamb.
Exactly at the hour of the killing of the Passover lamb, Jesus died, brought in the brand new testament. That's a huge— this is the biggest chapter. Better say it right. 23 verses 45 and 46. Those two verses, you see the veil in the temple is rent in two. And now Moses' law is of no effect. We are now under new laws. There are actually three listed later on. We'll explain those later on when we get into Acts. We'll tell you what those are, what those new laws are.
50, you want to read?
Well, verse 49, it says, all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off and saw these things. So all his acquaintances.
Look at the crowds and all the crowds that came together in this sight, seeing what things were done, returned smiting their breasts.
And that means they were—
they were beating their breasts.
Yeah.
I've seen actually people do that.
So is that like a grieving
thing? It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, like— it's like somebody trying to get their heart started again.
I wonder.
It's just that it knocked the wind out of them.
Well, until we meet again, we've come to an end. We will see you again in Luke chapter 23.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.